Okay, RK101, Bhagavatam 112, continuation, and this time, I guess this is for episode 33 or something. We will look at Prabhupada's purport here, and he's mentioning just the same. How to do this. Well, first of all, this four, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. And he mentions that when you have no understanding or a connection with God, and you're not following this dharma, well, that's the point. When you do that, that's the point where you can call this, we can call us humans, you say. Otherwise, it's barbarian. If we look at animals, I mean, yeah, just plain to see. They care about eating, and they defend and fight, and they don't mind eating up each other, many of them, if they taste good. It's, well, that is animal life. As I say, eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. And we can see it in our modern society, especially here in the West. You know, we complain and we worry and we look around us and say, what's going on in the world? It's so much selfishness and all these big greedy corporations running the whole world and so on. Greed, anger, fear, lust. Why are relationships, which should be nice and loving and at least friendly, are so often turning into exploitation for sense enjoyment, for me, I, me, mine, that whole thing, that is a result of materialism. It's a result of, as it has been done here, even on purpose, ignoring and denying not only the existence of God, but even of the soul, of us, with all that we have in here, all the higher, deeper, richer, and I would say good qualities, honesty, and, well, hardly even dare to speak the word God today, love today. So yeah, this is important knowledge that is being given in Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada will later get into that specifically when this discussion about Dharma comes up again, and of how this age of Kali Yuga means the destruction of Dharma, or almost so. And therefore, why he came over here and why he translated and commented on these books is because he saw that as his mission, and he gave that mission to us to reestablish Dharma, Sanatana Dharma. And in the next paragraph here, Prabhupada really describes that so well, the situation of the world today. It's always a struggle to conquer and control nature and others, of course. And he says, a constant, uninterrupted conflict where each one and everyone strives to satisfy sense. So we can read part here. The situation in modern civilization. How people use religion for material prosperity, and if when they have it, they don't need religion. They're more interested in factories, shops, and cinemas, and then temples and shrines. Which proves, he says, that religion, this kind of religion, is for material, economic gain, and of course then sense satisfaction. And then he goes further here, and we can see that also today, that, and especially here, people who have all these facilities for sense enjoyment. Here I grew up like that. We have enough money, we can enjoy anything. Then somehow or other, often it doesn't make you happy anyway. There's always this fear of getting hurt and old and sick and die. But also that, I would say, angst, which comes from that stark realization that some they even, I guess, suppress. That yes, I have all this sense enjoyment now, but still, something is missing. And then, as Prabhupada says, when you have failed in your, you can read it here, hunt after sense enjoyment, then you seek mukti, moksha, becoming one with the Lord, just disappearing and avoiding and escaping it all. But that is just another side of the same coin, so to speak. Again, in the third paragraph, yeah, there are long paragraphs, Prabhupada mentions that again, that there is this bitter struggle between people, between societies, countries, but how the devotees of God, who this Bhagavatam is for, he says. It's transcendental literature, transcendental to all of that. But the devotees of God, the real devotees of God, they are above that kind of competition. They're not getting into that struggle and that battle. Because they are on their way back to God, and where life is eternal and blissful. And such transcendentalists, Prabhupada say, they are free from envy, and they have a pure heart. And they're not only free from envy, but they also wish everyone well. And they are working for establishing a society here that is also free from that fighting, but rather with God in the center, and we all, you know, as God's children. And then it brings up this modern socialism, that this says that this idea of socialism, modern socialism, of a competition-free society is artificial. Because you cannot remove that competitive, envious, greedy spirit by just introducing some new, social system, right? So it says in the socialistic state there is a struggle between who is to be in control of the society. Of course, that's what we saw back then. It's not that much socialist, but and yes, then he mentions how this Vedic, the Vedas, they are, you know, which are describing more the material harmonious society or the basic there, which then Shambhavatam is transcendental to. It's then describing three different ways of action here in the world. One then is to work for fruitive results, as we say. I want money, I want this and that. That's why I'm working. And that is, of course, how most people here do it. And then another one is that kind of religion where you worship, well, God or gods in order to get something, to go to heaven, go to some beautiful place, or become rich, or become beautiful, or successful, or get a good husband or wife, or that kind of religion, which again still is selfish material like that. But still, of course, you're worshipping higher, you're worshipping God or the representatives of God, the devas or whatever. And then the third means that impersonal Advaita liberation, moksha. Let's get away from this entire world. And we, of course, find that in our society today, maybe not so much the worshipping gods, but yeah, people do. It's coming back more and more. You see it in India, you see it in China, you see it in Asia mainly, but people go here to churches, and mosques and whatever, and pray to God. What do they pray for? Well, some pray, kill our enemies, help us defeat them in our great honorable war. Things like that. And then others are sitting looking at all this and saying, this is just too much. I had enough. I want to leave this world. I want to get... But you know, suicide doesn't... maybe painless, but doesn't solve it really, because you're still hanging around here earthbound. And now with all of those who were killed in the wars and others who committed suicide, frustrated, unhappy people, that's, you know, the ghost town of earth these days, I believe, is not a very happy place to hang out in. So then others wise of ones go, yes, mukti, moksha. We go up to some ashram up in the mountains and or whatever and just disappear from this hell. But then you've got the devotees. As Prabhupada said, the transcendental, meaning they are not touched, they don't have to escape, disappear. They may be anywhere, because in their hearts they are transcendentally situated. They are actually, I realized, well, I'm not part of this actually, I'm just visiting here to do some help out or whatever. And then Krishna protects them, and they are actually situated in the real world, in the blissful, eternal world, the Satchitananda world. And that is what this Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about, how to get there. Then, in the fourth paragraph here, now one, two, yeah, fourth. Prabhupada gets into that thing about the impersonalism, which we find, I think, quite commonly and still in among people who take interest in Indian philosophy. I think it is, you find it a bit there, New Age and that kind of circle. So we might need to say something about this, and therefore Prabhupada does. Well, we have that Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavaniti, Sadhyati, that there is Brahman, which is what they generally talk about, the oneness, God is one and God is Brahman. A kind of impersonal concept of God, which I never liked, because, I mean, what makes life here interesting and valuable and meaningful is that we are persons, right? And then our relationships and then that idea comes there that now when we are liberated, we are not persons anymore, we are just one, we are God, everything is just God, and there is no individuality anymore. And I thought, and I think many would think so, that, well, then it's more fun here. And then you see those monks and nuns sitting there meditating on candles or ringing of bells or whatever, trying to reach that oneness and being very holy, and while the rest of us are having fun, right? That's how I doesn't say that. So, but here it is then said, and Prabhupada mentions it too, that above that impersonal energy there is the Paramatma, the source of that energy. An energy, the sunlight that comes here, actually in through my window now because it's starting to get a little springish here. And I'm sitting talking this in the sun here. And yeah, it's an energy, it's impersonal, right? But it has a source. Sun planet, and that can be compared then to Paramatma, just as I have consciousness. Now we need to get it. Prabhupada gets a bit philosophical here, so let's dive a bit into it. The Vedantic. I mean, I have consciousness, you have consciousness, right? But I am not just consciousness. I'm a person with consciousness. I am the source of that consciousness that you see acting in this world, and you are the source of that which I see you having there. So that's the same. Just in the same way, this entire cosmos, all the conscious, all the life, everything has a source too. And that's Paramatma. So at least there's this understanding of a source of an energy. So then you're getting one step further on the way, not just that there is some energy flowing around in nothing or something or that's it. But there's a source to that energy. And that is also logical, philosophical, because energy, as we see it, is always a source, has a source. So, yep, welcome to Vedanta for beginners. But then, Bhagavan, it is said that that source is personal, not impersonal. Just as I am the source of the consciousness that you see coming out of this mind and body, acting through this mind and body. And what distinguishes me from that consciousness as such, as a general field of awareness, is that I am the person who is aware, the individual, and I am an identity distinct, and you are another distinct one. And that's the fun and nice of it, right? As we spoke about in the previous episode here. So then Prabhupada really gets into that. And he said, this knowledge, this insight, which is really the Bhagavatam, that's what Prabhupada gets into this here in this second verse. It's really, and it is a superior knowledge. And it's not a superiority complex that Prabhupada manifests here, but he's stating it philosophically, that this Bhagavatam, he's describing how this Bhagavatam and why it describes itself in this verse as above, as transcendental to these general ideas of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, and so on. So he's just very philosophically talking here, and so there is, you know, you have this Vedic knowledge, the Vedas and the Vedanta, and all of, there's so many scriptures there which constitute that Vedic knowledge of India, which is the basis for that Vedic civilization of India, which is now, well, has been called Hinduism, but then actually more should be called Sanatana Dharma. They have these different khandas, different parts. It's divided up. It's very scientifically and advanced structure, this whole library of Vedic knowledge from India is so old. So you've got the karma khanda, which means basically you do good activities, that kind of basic, we could call it mundane religion in a way, because it means, you know, I work here to get something, and if I do it for God, if I do sacrifices for God, if I go to the temple and do good things and give some a part of my income to God, to the temple, then God will be satisfied, happy with me, and will give me even more riches. That kind of idea. That's karma khanda, where really Bhagavad Gita goes further, that's explaining how you should learn one step further to do all your actions as a yajna to God, as an offering to God, because you're part of God. So we are servants of God, just as a
part of a twig of a tree or so is serving the tree, also, so to speak. The Prabhupada says that in Karmakanda there is this competitive strife after reaching the higher, that's ultimately the idea of going to heaven. There you can really enjoy. And then you have Jnana Kanda. Jnana, that's what's going on a bit here, this Vedantic knowledge. You really try to be learned, more of a philosopher. And it's much based on this neti-neti, not this, not this, that you're just trying to remove things from your life that are not really, that are false or illusory or not bringing you to the good result, which is untrue, and so on. And you go to Upasana, under the worship of in temples and so on. And the Prabhupada said that again, the Srimad Bhagavatam exceeds them all, is above them all, because it focuses on the absolute truth, which is the substance or source of all the other categories, as it says. And you know, you will find this language here they normally discuss this in Sanskrit. So what does this mean, this source or substance of all the other categories? And it said that the Srimad Bhagavatam gives knowledge both about the substance and the different categories. So what is a substance? Well, it is then God, the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the, you know, everything is God, everything is Krishna, actually. That's the substance. Now, we tend to think of substance as chemicals, but he means philosophically the actual existence, the reality, the absolute truth that is said. And truth then doesn't just mean something in the head, of theory or something, but it actually means existence. And then, as Prabhupada said, nothing exists outside or apart from the substance, in other words, from God. So again, everything is God. But at the same time, the different energies are different from the substance. And those of you who are familiar with this, especially the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will find something familiar here also. That there is, he says, this Srimad Bhagavatam is clearly explaining this philosophy, and this is an important point. He really gets to the bottom of it all, this, that there is this specific philosophy here, and that's what you find in these discussions of Vedanta Sutra. They have different interpretations there, different philosophical Siddhantas, you could say. And this is the Vaishnava Siddhanta, called simultaneous oneness and difference. It's there from the Vedanta Sutra, and it starts with that Jamadi Asya Yataha. So here is a little short crash course nutshell of the Vedantic knowledge, which again the Srimad Bhagavatam is said to be a natural commentary on. And what does it mean? Well, to explain it in a language that we modern people not so familiar with, Vedanta Sutra and Vedic culture and all that, can understand. Well, you got God, who is just everything, one in that way. But for his and her, actually, pastimes, because God is, first of all, one and two, masculine and feminine, and And that is where it begins, this whole dynamic of existence. To just have a oneness that is just passive and nothing's going on, there's no variety or nothing. It's more of a static. And of course, someone may say that, oh, you're trying to understand it from your intellectual point of view. But we need to, well, that's, you can really get into this Vedanta Sutta, but this is really what the discussion is about, that some then would say that, well, this Maya, this world that we seem to be in, or the ones that we seem to be, this just false, doesn't exist, which is a strange thing to say, actually. But rather, this understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that all these worlds and all of us are expansions. They are just like we are, as I say, this little rays from God. And all the different worlds and places and environments and events, they are like this tree of life growing, and the little branches and twigs, and there we are, a little twig there and there. And that's the beauty of it. And what is the purpose of the entire existence? What God is enjoying with us. If you were God, you wouldn't want to stay alone. So there are unlimited expansions of branches and twigs. And it's all about the loving relationships there. And then the first loving relationship is then, of course, between Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana. So the feminine and masculine form of God, who is at the same time one. They are one, but at the same time two. And that is called Achintya Beda Beda Tattva in this Vaishnava, this Vedantic philosophy, meaning Beda Abeda, same, different. Tattva means the truth. And Achintya means you can't really figure it out. It can be like that. It is just beyond us. It's the mystery, the great enigma of existence, which makes it all sweet. So yeah, that's how Prabhupada, what he gets into. So I mean, you can see here that this Srimad Bhagavatam is pretty thick with knowledge. I mean, we are here just at the second verse of it, which is pretty big in itself. It's a long Sanskrit verse. And then Prabhupada's, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's purport to this verse is like 3 pages in the book. And he is diving into the Vedanta Sutra and some pretty deep philosophy here. So just warning you that as we go along here, but Prabhupada did this wonderful job of explaining it in ways that we can understand, even who are not grown up in and familiar with the Indian Vedic tradition or learned in the Vedanta Sutra. Well, but even now, like 60 years later or something, where we hardly even read books, then, well, I guess people like we do here now needed to explain whatever we can understand from it. Because it's also said that in the, I think the Bhagavatam itself, somewhere, that this Bhagavatam, very few actually understand it in full. I think 3-4 great sages are listed there as those who actually have proven to understand it fully. So, yeah, this is what we are dealing with here. But if guys like me and many of my friends can understand this book enough to be able to make a significant positive difference and change in our lives. I mean, I can just say myself, this has kind of saved me, and Bhagavad Gita especially. So, yeah, I guess you should, well, of course, you should start with the Bhagavad Gita. And if you even think that one is difficult, take the Upanishad. There's small introductory books. Or listen to channels such as this one, where I hope we will get more Vaishnavas. And here in Sweden, speaking in Swedish to our Swedish people. But out there you have a lot of English material. So yeah.